Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 58. Hey, Christmas Eve day, be here in the morning. If you have a Catholic family, I'm going to not mention the Catholics per se, but I'm going to preach on the virgin birth. It will be contrary to anything they have heard, just so you know. But it'll be a little bit warmish that morning, so just thought I better let... Amen. You won't have to worry about going to their house the next day. I knew that was coming. All right, Isaiah chapter 58. Tell you what, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then I'll have you help me read one other verse aloud here in just a moment. Isaiah 58, verses 1 and 2. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Now, read with me on verse 14. Let's read verse 14 aloud. You ready? Here we go. Then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And let's pray. Holy Spirit, I need you tonight. Give me the attention of your people. May we just focus our mind on you so that we could get the truth you have for us tonight. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, honestly, I'm not planning on preaching a hard sermon, but I want to preach a truth that'll be very sweet to you. I call it delighting in God. Delighting in God. Can I tell you something? I enjoy being a Christian. I do. There is nothing about the Christian life I think I've missed out on. I don't think the world has anything to offer me that I've missed out because I'm a Christian. Amen. I've seen what they call fun and don't like it. Now, I'm so glad that God is my father and not old schmutty face. As I said this morning, we were born of him, but I got born again away from him and got adopted away from him into God's family. We're Christians and have absolutely no reason to be discouraged, depressed, or disillusioned, no matter what happens. Do you realize? Well, let me give you a quote. My dear friend, Brother Rick Walter, pastored up in Winthrop, Maine, died here just a few weeks ago. On August 17th, he preached his last sermon in his pulpit. He preached a sermon called Marred in the Potter's Hand. Let me give you a few quotes from his sermon. If I'm going to be marred, I want him to get the glory. The worst thing that could happen to me is that I live. The best thing that could happen to me is that I go to heaven. That's a man dying of cancer who less than just 2 months later went to heaven. can I tell you something? I don't feel sorry for him. He's fine. Now, do I hurt that I miss him? Yes. Do I hurt for his family? Yes, I do. Do I hurt for his church? Of course I do. But do I hurt for him? No, he's in heaven. He's fine. He's better than we are. We see life so selfishly. Let me say that again. We see life so selfishly. We have this ability to only see life as we see it. And that is very fleshly. We see life here on earth as our only life. Can I tell you something? There's more to life than what's here on earth. Thank God. This is just practice for eternal life. My life here is practice for heaven. This life might last 70, 80, 90 years, but can tell you something, eternity is a long time. So this is just the warm-ups. This is just the practice round. Life here is short and so temporary, yet we put all of our hope, all of our work, all of our effort into this sinful life. Have you ever noticed how selfish we get? I'm going to make a statement here that might surprise you. God did not make us to endure life only. Sin brought opposition to life. God made your body to live forever. But when man sinned, man caused death on his own body and his own spirit. God did not bring that. Man brought that. God did not make you just to endure life and have pain and have sorrow. That was our choosing. But God loves you enough that he made a way possible to get out of this mess. Now, you're still going to feel the effects of sin, but we can have a home in heaven. Sin has broken everything down to where we are so selfish we only see life through our eyes. Sometimes it amazes me that I'll talk to this person and they see life from this angle, and I'll talk to another person and they see it from this angle. Talk to this person and they see it from that angle. You put two electricians in the same project, they're going to come at it from different angles, though the job gets done the same way. It's all going to be wired up the exact same way. They're just going to do it maybe two different ways to get there. Is either wrong, as long as it's done right, it's okay. Whether they do it Joe's way or Evan's way or Rich's way, they're not going to do it my way because I'm not touching it. but may I say this? Sin breaks it down to where when we only see it through our eyes, we don't understand why everybody else doesn't see it the way we see it. Can I tell you something? The only person to see life as you see it is you. You're going to have to get over yourself that not everybody sees what you see. And sometimes people see more than you see. Sin has broken all of this down. We should not blame God for the results of our sin. God didn't sin. We did.
Sorry.
Let me say that again. Why is it that we want to blame God for the result of our sin? Oh, I just think it's tragic that Brother Walters at 46 years old died. I don't understand why God did it. God didn't. Sin did. God didn't sin. Now, let me help you with something here. We should be thankful for forgiveness and his restoration in the Holy Spirit as Christians. God tells us here in Isaiah 58 that we can get delight in him. Notice in verse number 2, it says, "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways." Towards the end of the verse, they take delight in approaching unto God. Verse 14, "Then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord." Hey, can I tell you something? You can have delight in God. I'm going to tell you something. They don't have much delight at the bar tonight. There's not much delight at the honky-tonk.
Yes, sir.
The dance hall. Houses of ill refute. Not much delight there. The word delight means to glow. Luxurious. Pleasant. Bringing up to the top. Can I tell you something? God has plenty available for us. I'd rather be poor and be a Christian than be rich and have the devil.
Amen.
You know, money's not everything.
Amen.
Money's not everything. Things aren't everything. And by the way, it's not wrong to have either, as long as that doesn't become your God. God made us to have delight. Did you know God wanted you to enjoy life, not just endure it? God made you to enjoy life. God made you to enjoy him. God made you so he could enjoy you. It goes both ways. And he wants us to delight. Sin keeps us from having more delight. And by the way, heaven will be the ultimate because there won't be any sin there. And we'll have total delight. Now, listen to this. God does not want you to wait until heaven to delight in him, though. Did you know, Joe, that you don't have to wait to get to heaven before you have delight in God? You got to get saved first. you can delight in God now. Now, you might not have it in fullness, but you can definitely have delight in God now here on earth, and you don't have to wait to heaven to have delight. God has made it to where we can enjoy him in spite of our sin. Now, he could choose to wait and make us wait till we get to heaven, but he didn't. You know, God could have said, "You sinned, You pay the price. You wait. You can get saved, and then I won't do anything for you till you get to heaven, and then I'll make up for it in eternity. And God would not have been unjust to do that. But that's not the kind of God he is. He said, I'll make delight available to you. Now, listen to this. Most people today have no enjoyment or delight in God. They see God as a mean old judge controlling every event of life, both bad and good. I'm going to preach a sermon on this in weeks to come. Did you know who controls the bad of this world? It's called the God of this world, Satan. God does not control the bad. You have the God of this world. You're of your father, the devil. Hello? Why is it that we give God the blame for what's the devil's problem? Sin. Now, let me show you what God says about delighting in him. I'll hurry. And I'll get you home so you can get your snack and your ice cream, all right? Now, I had mine on vibrate. Whew, my pocket's going crazy. I don't know who's calling me, but I thought, man, what in the world is in my pocket? I forgot I had my phone in there. Whew. Number one, we delight in God by delighting in his words. Use your Bibles with me tonight. Isaiah 58, where we were, verse number 2. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. The word ways is another word for the word of God. Remember when we went through Psalm 119, one of the words for the word of God is the word ways. All right? So we can delight in the word of the Lord. Turn to Psalm 119. I'm going to take you to Psalm 119. And we're going to look at several verses there and a few other places. Psalm 119, look at verse number 24 first. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The word testimonies means words. The words of God are our delight. Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse number 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. The law is the word of God, and it's to be our delight. Turn to verse number 174, Psalm 119, 174. Bible says, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Can I tell you something? Turn back to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, very first Psalm, not Psalm 119, but Psalm 1, verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Can I tell you something? We can delight in God's word. I'll take you to the New Testament. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read a verse to you in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse number 22, if you get there quickly. If not, just hold your place, because I'm already there. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to take delight in that book right there. That is to be our delight. Did you know the more of the Bible you read, the more of God you're going to understand?
Yes, sir.
Do you know the more of the Bible you read, the more you hear it preached, and the more you love it, and the more you enjoy it, the more God makes sense to you? And by the way, God doesn't have to make sense for you to trust him. But you'll fall in love with him the more you know him. You don't meet somebody one time and say, okay, I'm going to marry them and get married, and it lasts forever. And you never talk to them. Now, I knew after one date that I was going to marry my wife. It took me 11 months before I put a ring on her finger. And many, 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 many hours of talking and convincing. But I did. And for 28 and a half years, we've been married. But did you know what? We still talk. I know that's a shock. But we still talk to one another. We delight in God by delighting in his words. This is God talking to man. Man did not write this. God did. Now, man penned it. God gave man the words to put in it. And may I say this, but it's God's words.
Amen.
They are God's words. That means this. You ought to read your Bible.
Yes, sir.
One of our dear folks this week said, "Preacher, I'm just about all the way through my Bible again this year," and I praise God for that. I'm about a third of the way through my fourth time through this year. And that's just my reading. That's not my studying. And I think you ought to read the Word of God. I think you ought to memorize Scripture. I think every Christian ought to memorize at least one verse a month. Just pick a verse and memorize it. Now, I have thousands that I've put to memory. And I'm nothing special. But may I say this, read it. Then live it. You know, it does no good if you don't practice what it says. Amen. Just having knowledge in your head doesn't do much. If you do what it says, you'll find out it's a living book that works. This is not a history book to tell you what was. It's a living book to tell you what to do now. It's a how-to book. Can I tell you something? Enjoy it. The book of Job says, enjoy it like your necessary food. Matter of fact, in Isaiah 58:2, it says that you ought to seek it daily. I believe every Christian ought to read their Bible every day. I'm not saying you have to read through the Bible in a year. I think your goal ought to be to read it every day, 365 days a year, period, end of discussion. Do I think you should read through your Bible in a year, sometime in your life? Yes, but I'd rather you read it every day and not get through it in a year than to read it in about 10 or 12 settings and say, well, I did it, I'm done, and I only had to meet with God a few times. No, meet with Him every day. Meet with Him every day. Enjoy it. Enjoy it like food. By the way, you say, well, living the Christian life, you just, I'm so constricted. There's only so many things I can do. I'm so bound. No, you have so much freedom. The world is the one that's bound, not us. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You're free by doing that. You're not free by doing what you want to do. Sin is bondage. The law of the Lord is liberty. It gives you the freedom that you need. So we delight in God, number one, by delighting in His words. Number two, we're to delight in God's will. Turn to Psalm 40. We're to delight in God's will. Psalm 40, look at verse number 8. I love this verse. The Bible says, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Can I tell you something? You're supposed to delight in the law and in the will of God. Did you know God made you to do something specific with your life? God made every person to do something in life. It's our job, it's our goal to fulfill that. I know what God made me to do. God made me for pastoring this church at this time in life. I was talking to my son Josh today. He's an assistant pastor down in Miami. And I said to him, I said, "Son, I am so proud of you. You're doing God's will. You and your wife are happy. You're serving God." And he said, "Dad, there's nothing like doing the will of God. I've been out of it, and I don't like that." He said, "I don't ever want to get out of it again." He said, "People think being out of the will of God's fun. They doing the will of God's so much more fun." My daughter today, she was all wound up. They had 60-some on their bus, and she had 30 just from her area, and she had a whole family come, and all of the goals she set for this semester she's just about gotten, and they were all spiritual things. I delight in that. I delight in that. My son Jeff texted me today. He said, "Dad, we had 27 on the bus today, and had visitors, and it was a good day. It worked all night long, worked a bus route with snotty-nosed bus kids all morning." Gotta love it. Preach junior church. Gotta love it. The kid that wouldn't ever get up and said, "I'm never going to preach and never going to teach Sunday school," he's preaching junior church about every 2 weeks. And God didn't call me to preach, but he's preaching junior church. And that's fine. Good, solid layman in the church. What more could I ask? He's doing what Brother Joe's doing. I love it. Now, delight in, what is the will of God? Well, one thing about the will of God is seeing people get saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you something? God wants everybody to get saved. So how you delight in God means you, smack my microphone with my finger. One of the ways you can delight in God is telling other people how to get saved. Say, "Well, I don't know if I could do it." I'll promise you one thing. You're going to be scared to death the first few times you do it, but once somebody gets saved, you're ready to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. It'll energize you. Now, it doesn't mean all the fear goes away for the rest of your life, because I've been soul winning for, good night, 38 years. And I still, man, I hope they're not home. I still get that feeling. I still wonder, are they going to slam the door in my face? Are they going to cuss me out or sick the dog on me? I still get those feelings, but all of a sudden something happens. And it just kind of works out of me. I was flying to Maine, and my flight from Baltimore to Newark, I had this guy on the plane. And he was a very friendly young man, but he didn't know what he sat next to. He started talking for a second, and he said, "You got a Bible, are you a Christian?" I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher." He said, "Oh, I used to be a Christian." I said, What do you mean, used to be?" He said, "Well, I'm kind of into this Zen Buddhism. It's kind of crossed between Zen Buddhism and something in Hindu or something or other. He's just an ecumenical movement that needs a washroom. He's messed up." But he gave me a clear-cut testimony getting saved when he was a kid, growing up with his grandparents. And he decided he was going to challenge me for a while. The whole plane around us heard the discussion. It was exciting. I didn't hold back. I had nothing to lose. I was getting off that plane in 40 minutes. It didn't matter to me. By the time I got off, some little old lady, I was waiting on a piece of luggage, and mine didn't fit in the over, it was just one of those sardine cans, and my bag didn't fit over top, and I didn't check it. So I was waiting on, she came by, she said, "Reverend, you did good." She said, "You did good." And I mean, you could see people looking at us the whole time. And then we got stuck on the ground at Newark for about 10 minutes. He couldn't get out of the plane. And he was sitting next to the window, and I was in the aisle. Say, "What'd you do?" We carried on the conversation a little longer. He was one of the first ones off the plane. It was amazing. He had met his match. Oh, wait a minute. I was having fun. He was wiggling, but I wasn't. You know, God is not willing that any should perish. I believe we ought to give the gospel wherever we're at. We need to delight in telling others about him more than telling them about ourselves. Isn't it amazing? We can tell everybody about everything about us, but when it comes time to talking to Jesus, you shouldn't do that. I grew up in the generation that taught you shouldn't talk religion or politics. Now we have a God-hating society and almost socialistic in politics. Time somebody starts talking about it.
Amen.
You know, being at church and listening to the preaching will draw you closer to the will of God. This might surprise you. 98% of the will of God is right there.
Amen.
There's less than 2% of the will of God that's not there, but if you're following the 98, I'll promise you the other 2% becomes very clear. God did not say in the Bible, "Go start a church in Martinsburg, West Virginia, name it Grace Baptist Church." But I was doing God's will, and in the doing of God's will, God showed me what and where to do what I was supposed to do. I'd rather be doing the right thing in the wrong place than doing the wrong thing in the right place. It's not the where, it's the what. And as long as you're doing the right what, God will take you to the right where. Did you know you can't win the wrong person to the Lord? Did you know you can't witness to the wrong person? Did you know you can't go soul winning on the wrong street? Now, there's a couple houses you probably shouldn't go to because they've called the police on us. And my wife went back there 3 times. Twice. Somebody else had gone there in the intermediate. That was the issue. And that was not real fun. Now, wait a minute. It got a little exciting. But may I say this? Did you know you can't take the gospel to the wrong person? That means you can go soul winning anywhere. Yeah, you can do what God wants you to do. That is the will of God. Doing what God made you to do, not what you in your flesh wants to do. As I deal with young people, "Well, what do you want to be when you grow up?" No, I always say, "What does God want you to do?"
Yes, sir. That's
right. I don't believe every Christian has to be, every Christian kid has to be a preacher or a preacher's wife. But I do believe every Christian young person ought to go to Bible college at least a year and get some good grounding in. You're not smart enough to make enough decisions to know what the rest of your life's supposed to be. Why don't you decide to do what God wants you to do?
That's good.
There's a lot of things I'd like to do that I haven't done yet. I'm waiting for the millennium. and I'm too old to do some of them. I'm not going skydiving anymore. Did it once. I'd love to go do it again. Not with my back and knees and hip the way it is. Forget that mess. I'll have one better than that. I'll be able to transport from heaven to earth at command and not have to worry about a parachute. I'm going to come back from heaven to earth riding on the back of a horse.
There you go.
And mine's not going to say obey. I'm going to have fun. You know, what you think is important down here on earth really isn't that important. Now, doing what God made you to do, not what your flesh wants to do. Number three, and I'll hurry here, we need to delight in walking with Him. We need to delight in walking with Him. Turn to Psalm 37. Familiar passage to many of you, but Psalm 37, verse number 4. Psalm 37, verse number 4, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Can I tell you something? Everybody look at me for a second. That doesn't mean God is the genie in the bottle, and you say, "Oh God, I love you, I love you. Now give me what I want." That's not what God said. Did you know when you delight yourself in the Lord, you change your desires? There are some things that my wife and I, when we first met each other, we didn't desire necessarily the same things. After we've been married all this time, we've walked together, we've loved one another, we've learned to desire some things that we didn't even know we would desire. She never thought she'd ever desire venison. But she does. Because we lived on it for so long. Now, we desire the same things. It doesn't mean our taste is the same. But we have common goals. She desires things for her children that I desire for them. Do you know what we decided a long time ago? We would desire to raise our kids so that they would do the will of God.
That's good.
No matter what it was. I've got one child that's an assistant pastor. I've got one. She's training for to be a Christian school teacher and probably marry a preacher. And I got one that's a layman in the church working security and being a good, solid layman. I'm as proud of all three of them. I don't have one that I'm more proud of than the other. You say, why? Because I want them to do God's will. And they'll tell you, their whole life they grew up in God's will. Because dad and mom kept them in God's will because we were in God's will. Everybody understand that? Can I tell you something? There's nothing more secure you can give your family than the will of God. I was talking to Josh the other day. He said, "Dad," he said, "I know I got away from it." He said, "Not stupid." I said, "Yes, you were." He said, "You didn't have to be so agreeable so fast." I said, "You were." He said, "You know, that was about 18 months, the most miserable time of my life. I thought I would be having fun." He said, "It was miserable." He said, "You and Mom never gave up the will of God, and thank you." He said, I honestly hope and believe that Ruth Ann and I aren't ever going to stray from it." I said, I know this. She's not. She'll womp you and get you back in line, dude. I said, "You better be careful." He said, "I know. That's why I married her." Can I tell you something? Learn to love the will of God. Learn to delight in walking with God. It sure is fun in the morning. Every once in a while, my son will say, "Dad, I got this in my devotions this morning. It's 5:30 in the morning. Dad, I was reading this, and what do you think of this, and what do you think of this?" Or I'll shoot him something, and we're just back and forth on things in the Bible. Can I tell you why? Because we're enjoying God. Isaiah 58, verse 14 says, "Then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall cause thee to ride upon high places." Can I tell you something? We need to learn to delight in God. There is nothing weird about walking with God. And please don't take this the wrong way, but have you seen how the world acts? They're the weird ones.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they got 14 colors of hair. They can't figure out if they're a man or a woman. Somebody sent me something today and says a 16-year-old said that they were, what's the word? being recognized, or they were identify, that's the right word. Couldn't think of the right word. They were identifying as a 21-year-old so that they could go drink. That's about how stupid things are in this world. Did you know when you were hatched, you didn't have a birth certificate that said to be determined? They looked at you and said, boy, girl. There's only one way to tell that. Now, in the state of California, they do have gender-neutral birth certificates as of about 2 weeks ago. But look at California. It's like a box of cereal full of fruits, flakes, and nuts. Yep. Good night. I'll promise you one thing. You go out to the cow lot, you'll figure out which ones are the bulls and which ones are the cows real fast. Yeah, buddy. It won't take you but that long to figure it out. I promise you. Now, can I tell you something? We humans get pretty stupid. The world, look how the world dresses. Let's take everything off, paint ourselves all kinds of colors, and let's do tattoos everywhere. And please, don't take this the wrong way. I don't have a racist bone in my body, but Miss Kim and Malachi, you all know this. But to me, some of the stupidest things, maybe it's because I'm colorblind, but why in the world does a black person want to get tattoos? You can't even hardly see the stupid thing. I mean, to me, it just does not make sense. Now, doing all that stuff anyways, did you know that picture of that girlfriend that you put on your arm in about 40 years, she's going to look like an ugly old hag because your arms are going to be drooping. Well, 40 years ago, yeah, 40 years ago, that's what it looked like. But look at it now. I won't ask you to say if it's comparable. I am not doing that. But some of this stuff just does not make sense to me. You know, well, we can't figure out what bathroom to go in. It's very simple, men's or women's. And if you're plumbed one way, don't go in the other. It's real simple. You know, the world is where they're weird. Did you know walking with God is not weird? Believing that you came from a big bang and a single-celled amoeba that eventually decided through millions of years that it was going to divide and become two, and millions of years later became a tadpole, and then it grew legs and grew, then it got lungs and came up on out of the land, and then decided to want to walk upright and couldn't do it because of his tail and lost his tail. Then it was climbing through the trees. Now it teaches in the university. Now that really makes a lot of sense. It's a whole lot easier to believe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And they think we're weird? Global warming. Oh, the world's going to die of global warming. Did you know they are now talking about another ice age coming? They're literally saying the temperature, we've done too much to get rid of global warming. We're going to have to warm it back up. And I have never yet figured out how this quote-unquote polar vortex, cold air, is created by global warming. How in the world do you create cold air by hot air? Brother June, maybe you understand that better than I do, but I don't get that. I know how you cool it down. Oh, wait a minute. Then they're going to, all of the water. We're going to there's no water. And we're going to, did you know there's not one drop of water that has ever left the Earth's atmosphere? There is the same amount of water on the face of the earth as there was when the earth was created. There is no drop of water ever lost. There's the exact same. They were talking 30 years ago about everybody that lived in coastal towns. You're going to have to move your homes because the coasts are going to be flooded in the next 10 years. Al Gore was wrong. Everything he predicted in his book never happened. Not one thing happened. And he's made billions of dollars off of it. Did you ever notice they always go to Antarctica in the summer here, which is winter down there, and wonder, and then in the wintertime they'll talk about, well, the poor polar bears, all of the ice is breaking down in the southern polar caps, and there's no, it happens every year because it's summertime down there, not wintertime, dum-dum. Seasons are opposite. You're going to start seeing things. Oh, the seals and the polar bears, all the ice is broken up and they have to swim. Yeah, they're made to swim sometimes 100 to 200 miles at a time, and a polar bear can handle that. God made them to do that. Say why? Because they're hungry. They're going after food. And it's summertime there. It's not wintertime. We are so ignorant that we listen to whatever we hear. You don't wait until he does things before you delight in him. Delight in him, then you'll see him do things. When's the last time you looked at the sunrise? By the way, it doesn't come up. Boonk! You know, you flip a switch and there it is. Hello, there's the sun. Comes up real slow. You know, sin can keep you from delighting in God. Jeremiah chapter 5. Take your Bible if you're close to Jeremiah 5. If not, I'll read this verse to you. But very interesting verse. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. It's not God's fault, it's our sin. Well, if God would do this for me, I'll do this for him. God doesn't have to do anything. He saved your stinking soul, kept you out of hell. You ought to give him everything you got. Sure. It's the least you could do. And if you're not saved, get saved so you don't have to burn in hell. Amen. That's the least you could do. God gave you the wherewithal to do it. Just do it. You can't earn it. God made us to delight in him. We won't take time to turn there, but if you go back and read the book of Genesis, the first three chapters, when God made man, God came down and talked with man every day in the Garden of Eden. And they had fellowship one with another. They delighted in one another. Sin, when man sinned, God came down and Adam wasn't there. And he said, Adam, where art thou? He said, I'm hiding. He said, why are you hiding? He said, 'cause. He said, did you disobey me? He said, well, the woman thou gavest me, she made me do it. Sound familiar? Sounds just like us. And that fellowship was broken, and man did not enjoy God as much as he did before. Sin causes that. Why do we want to blame God for it? God didn't make us to sin. He made us to enjoy him. Now, let me say this, and I'll be done, and I'm early. This life here is preparation for the next. Some of you are going to be pretty upset when you get to heaven and the TV's not going to be there. Some of you are going to be pretty upset that the NFL won't be there, thank God. Some of you are going to be pretty upset that some of the filthy music of the world is not there. You're going to have to enjoy singing the hymns and the spiritual songs. I don't know about you, but the moment I suck my last breath here, I want to be ready to hit heaven full speed. I really do. Now, I don't plan on retiring. I don't care how old I get, I want to do something, even if it's just pushing a stupid broom while I'm in my wheelchair. If that's what I can do to serve God, I'll do it. But may I say this, I don't plan on retiring, I plan on retreading. Give it everything I got to the last dying moment that I've got it. And may I say this, when I go out, I want to be able to hit the streets of gold going full bore. Amen. I'm one of those people. I just get wired. I put more on my plate than I can chew for a reason. That's why I look like this. But I make sure that the schedule's heavy. You say, why? Because I got to keep me out of trouble. You say, why? Because I got to stay focused. If not, I'll find something to do I probably shouldn't do. So I keep myself busy. Good night. I'm so busy right now. I'm working on so many sermons. Sometimes I don't even know which one I'm working on. I pull them out. I've got about 15 of them right here that I work on constantly. I've got a whole file folder full with about 150, 200 sermons in there that I'm working on. I've got a stack that high of sermon ideas to work on. I have hundreds of sermons I'm working on. I was going down the road the other day, had a thought, and I pulled off to the side of the road, and I scratched down the thought, and I wrote it down, and I put it into to my Bible here, and it's stuck in a piece of paper back here somewhere, and I got a whole sermon written on one thought. I pulled off the side of the road, and I'm, ooh, that's good. I wasn't listening to somebody else preach. I was preaching it myself. I was like, man, I can't do this and drive. I pulled the truck off the side of the road and, man, I was scratching away. I got a nail in my tire. Actually, it wasn't a nail. It was a Phillips screwdriver bit. It went into the tire of my truck. I had to get it fixed on Friday morning. I was down at the place where they do some work on my vehicles, and I stand there talking to the lady, and we started talking, and she gave me an idea. I loved it. I was on my way to my truck, and I pulled out my 3x5 card, and I wrote down an idea. She doesn't even go to our church, but it gave me an idea. I got excited about it. Shoot. I said this morning. I'm working on an idea for a senior citizen class, Brother June. I got the name for it already. Call it the Senior Moments class. Have a senior moment activity. Nobody will remember what we did. Amen. You can do the same activity every week and nobody will know the difference. You only have to learn one song and you have to learn it every week. I mean, you could have so much fun with that. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Learn to delight in God. Have fun with it. And may I say this? Don't get so selfish that you only decide if you can't see it, then it isn't real. If I take these off, not everything's as clear as it normally is. I'm to the age where I've had to have these for a long time. I see more clearly with them. I can't read anything without my glasses. I mean, nada. I don't even look down the barrel of my scope without my glasses on. Now, I can look through my binos, but nobody else can see through my binos after I do that. You know, okay, get those things set just right. And because it's too hard with my glasses, because then it leaves rings on your glasses, and I can't stand that. Now, wait a minute. Just because I don't always see what somebody else doesn't see doesn't mean it's not there. And just because I can see what you don't see doesn't mean that it's not there. People that don't hunt love riding with me because, ooh, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. I mean, I see everything. I see everything. I was up in Maine. I was pointing stuff out, and Brother Drolliard said, man, you are definitely a hunter. He said, nobody sees things like that but a hunter. I said, man, you look for motion, man. You look for movement. You look for something that's out of place. And I'm colorblind. It doesn't work on me. Bless God. Now, wait a minute. Somebody that's never been in the woods or not much, you're not paying attention to it, you can drive by 30 deer and never see them. I know people that have driven right beside deer, looking at them, and they never saw them. I was on a bus with them. I said, look at those deer. They said, where? And they could literally have reached out and touched them. And I said, just hang on, slow the bus down. I said, okay, look right there. You know, half the bus couldn't see the deer that were sitting right there on the edge of the road. They couldn't find them because they don't know what to look for. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it's not there. Learn to delight in God. I'm telling you something, he's worth delighting in. But first of all, you have to get saved. You'll never delight in God if he's not your father. That's the most important thing. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Learn to delight in God. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it someday. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. I won't call your name. Would you say, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure of that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who would say, preacher, somewhere inside that truth is something I needed tonight. That was something for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Lots and lots and lots of hands.